welcome everybody to this week's Impact Wrestling Media Teleconference. This is Ross Foreman. We'd like to first welcome our very special guest, Josh Matthews. Always, always, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yes, Ross, it's a pleasure to talk to you too.
Can hear it in your voice. Josh, you got a lot to...
Muted.
Bring us up to speed on what's going on in your world and what we got upcoming this week impact-wise.
Well, we've got this week is a tremendous show that puts us on the doorstep to Crossroads next week. We're all very excited for Crossroads and the matches that you guys are going to see. As I mentioned last week, 5 championships defended in 4 matches, and by the time we're done on Thursday, you guys will know everything that's happening at Crossroads a week from Thursday, including the world championship match that we already know about. Austin Aries defending the championship against Johnny Impact for the first time ever. Those two go one-on-one, and we think about the careers that they've had and the places that they've gone, that neither one of them have ever been in the ring with each other is pretty impressive, and it happens for the first time ever at Crossroads for the world championship next Thursday night on what's quite frankly a jam-packed episode of Impact Crossroads. We're doing our best to get the information out there. As it relates to that show, there'll be a pre-show that we shot earlier this week that will go up on our socials and .com and YouTube probably Monday of next week to get us really geared up. And then you have a great show this week, the show leading up to Crossroads that'll happen this Thursday, March 1st. And so many different things. If you guys have been following along on our socials and at ImpactWrestling.com, you guys can see that there's a lot of things that are happening. Late last night, the Rise promotion, which is in Chicago, those guys are affiliated with Shimmer. We're going to be doing a seminar with them in May in Pittsburgh. That information is available at ImpactWrestling.com. So just great partnerships. There's going to be an announcement coming out this week as it relates to WrestleCon that I think will surprise, shock, bring up a lot of questions. There's plenty of intrigue that will come from what's going to be announced, hopefully tomorrow. But by the end of the week, I would assume for sure that information will come out and you guys will, I think it'll make a lot of people say wow. Internally, it made a lot of people say wow. And I think as for fans and you guys, experts in the field, you guys are going to say, wow, this is something different, something special, and an opportunity to open up doors and do some different things with Impact in the future. So be on the lookout for that. Most likely tomorrow, Wednesday, getting us geared up for what should be a great Impact Thursday night. We've got some great matches. A story just went on ImpactWrestling.com as it relates to Braxton Sutter's return. Sutter will face Phantasma Thursday night. Tyrus is going to go one-on-one with EC3. So, you know, just some great matches. Eddie and Sammy, a great match that leads to some incredible footage that will all play. I feel like I'm talking, last night my wife and I watched The Bachelor Tells All, and they kept talking about what's coming and all the things that are going to happen and never before seen, never before done. That's sort of like what we're doing right now with Impact, but the things that will play out this week, I think you guys will say, oh, wow, that lived up to the hype. So with that said, WrestleCon, everything on ImpactWrestling.com, all of our events that are coming up, March 23rd and 24th in California. I myself have actually decided to make the trip to Windsor on March 3rd for the one-night-only taping, and then March 4th is the taping for Twitch, which premieres the following Friday, March 9th. So, again, a lot happening. Stay current at ImpactWrestling.com with the events page, and, you know, stay current with all of our socials. So, with that being said, Ross is going to yell at me if I don't hit the VIP for April. Redemption, live on pay-per-view, April 22nd. Those VIPs will most likely come out next week. If I said last week that they were going to come out this week, they got pushed because of our WrestleCon announcement that will happen this week, and I think everyone will understand why when that comes out. So with that said, I'll answer some questions for as long as you want me to, Ross.
We got about 5 minutes, and then we will bring in Tyrus, but if anybody has any questions for Josh Matthews, just Josh at this point, we'll open up for some questions for Josh.
Q
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press star 6.
If you want to truly style and profile and tell it like it is, you got to be wearing the official t-shirt. Head over right now to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. That is the official merchandise store of Gurick.net. 8 great designs, $17.99. Plus shipping and handling will get you one of our shirts. Check them out today, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. They ship internationally, domestically, PayPal, debit, credit, you name it, they got it. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. And for the latest in pro wrestling news, keep it locked to Gurick.net, your number one source on the World Wide Web for the latest in pro wrestling news since 1997.
Josh, wanted to ask you what you thought of the recent Gorilla Position feature that talks about Ross Foreman, actually, and how much longer he's been in the wrestling business and basically how much more he knows than you. I think it mentioned that he dresses better than you as well.
Well, that's a new question. Sure, I'll give that about...
Who is this?
It's not important.
Okay. Just so you know, Josh, this is not me actually chiming in on that, but go ahead.
Well, that's the gentleman who spoke up last week, right?
Indeed it is.
Yes, I think he's very excited about the rivalry between Ross and myself.
Got to get a book for redemption, right?
I think Ross and what he does. Ross does a lot. He helps in areas that we certainly need it. The team has become more robust, and having someone like Ross involved helps. These teleconferences every week are great. I've told Ross my thoughts on them. I'll keep those between Ross and I, and but that will do that for that question. Next
question. All I will say about Josh, he's wonderful to work with, and I look forward to April in Orlando. He's buying dinner.
Hi guys, Harry Kessler from SportsKeeda. Josh, as Impact continues to grow as a brand, are there any major markets or countries that you're looking to break into that you kind of haven't already explored a great length?
Well, I think through GWN and through Twitch, you know, that opens up everything to a whole new world. I mean, because you have to think about, are you talking about television rights and contracts? Or are you talking about digital, and we don't have enough time on this call here to get into, you know, those two different conversations. Through GWN and through Twitch, and Ron Fighting in Germany, and Pluto, our Pluto channel, I mean, we're available everywhere. It's hard not to get your hands on Impact in 2018. And I know that I was quoted a couple of weeks ago in saying that more people watch, you know, the on-demand services in the United Kingdom than watch Spike. The Five Spike airing, you know, my point in saying that was that you can watch it at your leisure. You can watch Impact when you want to. So even though that premiere on Five Spike in the UK got pushed back a little later, you know, you don't have to be beholden to, you know, the scheduling of a network. You can wake up on Saturday and you can watch that show whenever you feel like it. So I think that television has changed, and through our efforts with GWN, Twitch, Pluto, Ron Fighting, you know, it's really hard not to see Impact in 2018, not to mention our YouTube channel.
Josh, this is Harry from Pro Wrestling 247 and NBC Sports Radio. Curious to find out your thoughts on the change in pay-per-views moving forward under the tutelage of Don Callis and Scott D'Amore. Is this going to be a benefit for Impact, or will it hold back the company?
I don't understand the question. Can you phrase that again?
The pay-per-views changed. We now have Redemption coming up in April, and it looks like the old TNA era pay-per-views are going to be done away with, and we're going to get some new pay-per-views. They're actually pay-per-views coming out of Impact. Is it going to be a benefit to the company, or do you think that things like Slammiversary and Bound for Glory are going to still be here? Will those go to the dinosaurs also?
Well, I think you know, pay-per-view itself is a dated model. To use your phrase, dinosaur, it's tough to use. I mean, because Bound for Glory and Slammiversary are legacies. So I wouldn't call them dinosaurs. I would say that they are cornerstones of Impact Wrestling. And I think that, you know, Slammiversary and Bound for Glory are names that have equity. I like Redemption. I think it's a cool name. I like to look for it. You know, just because it's not called Lockdown, you know, I think that you still have an April traditional pay-per-view. Then you have Slammiversary, you have Bound for Glory, then you have themed episodes of Impact, you know, themed shows like Crossroads. I think we'll see more. Sorry? Well, Ross, what was that?
We're going to move on with one final question for you, Josh.
Okay.
Hey, Josh, this is Big Ray for OneWrestling.com. Thank you for joining us, by the way. Now, with the whole GWN, my question to you simply is, what's the next evolution with the Global Wrestling Network? I think we spoke about this when the GWN first came out, and I've been curious to see whether you guys were going to now start facilitating or having pay-per-views on the GWN exclusively, or will you continue using the older pay-per-view system? Thank you, Josh.
Sure, it's a great question, and I'm sure it's being explored as to, you know, how quickly, if not live, can we get pay-per-views on GWN, and that would probably go a great way in helping people see those pay-per-views. But I think, to me, it's feeding the beast. It's getting original programming. It's getting new content. You know, you guys saw that when we announced the Twitch partnership that there'll be some original programs on there. So I think there's no shortage of opportunities in what you can do on all across all these platforms. I know that people are very excited internally. Our people are very excited about the things that we can do with GWN, the legacy content that you guys can see on GWN, everything that will be coming to GWN in the very near future. And then you have, you know, the ideas of original programming and what that looks like, and putting a spotlight really on our stars and learning who these people are inside and outside of the ring. I think one of my most favorite features that we have every week is Around the Ring, because it's a 6-minute interview where you get to learn about our guys. You know, we don't have all the real estate in the world to so you guys can learn who these characters are and get the characters over, so you guys can, you know, empathize, sympathize, hate, loathe, like, love, all those emotions from our characters. So that's to me, you know, personally, I think that's first and foremost. You know, I'll let the executives decide how they're going to roll out the getting pay-per-views on GWN, how long that delay is, and all of those details.
Thank you.
And with that, Josh, we will say thank you to you, and I will don't normally do this, but I'll give you a chance. We'd like to welcome our special guest. Tyrus is on the phone. You have a special welcome for Tyrus.
Well, I'll say this about Tyrus. I said it's hard to miss Impact Wrestling in 2018. It's almost as difficult to miss Tyrus. The man's on Greg Gutfeld every Saturday on Fox News. It is the number one show each and every Saturday night. You guys can see that. You can catch him on Preacher on AMC. You can see him on Glow on Netflix Season 1 and Season 2. My man is doing big things. He's got a movie coming out very soon. I'm very happy for the success, and I'm more than thrilled that Tyrus has returned to Impact Wrestling.
Tyrus, welcome to the teleconference.
Thanks for having me.
Josh, again, thank you. If you want to sign off, you're good to go. We appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next week. Tyrus, how are things going for you these days?
Oh, good, man. I'm maintaining. I'm hitting my head above the water.
Busy schedule. Josh, just ran down for you. What do you got going these days?
Hello?
You there, Tyrus?
Yeah, I'm here.
As Josh just rattled off your happy resume right there, busy schedule.
What are you in the corner? The good thing about Josh is Josh is always going to be friends. So, he stays on top of my stuff. Plus, he's always looking. Him and I have done some stuff together, so we're always looking to work together. So he's always very supportive. But yeah, I got that and a couple other projects that I can't quite name yet. A movie that I'm working on.
which should be released, the advertising stuff should be released for that sometime early around Christmas time. So it's going to be a big Christmas movie, so I'm excited about that.
Well, everything you got outside the ring, but I'm excited to see you back in Impact.
Yeah, and I'm, that's what I'm most excited about, because I took some time off to figure out what I want to do, and I really missed the ring, and so I was going to come back and have some unfinished business in the ring, so that's my focus as well, and there's no reason why I can't do it all.
Championship goal. I know it's in your future.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's the one thing that has eluded me my entire career. And I think I'm due.
Is that basically putting everyone and anyone on notice?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in my career, I'm literally, as far as the cheer, for me, it depends on my mood. You love me, hate me, it's pretty much consistent. But yeah, there are no friends in this business. I mean, you can try, but at the end of the day, we're all competing for the same thing. We want that top spot. We want the championship. I mean, you can tag up with somebody to be tag team champions, and if that's your goal, that's great. But with the exception of going for tag team goal, really, your friends are also your enemies, so you got to keep everybody close.
Well, Travis, obviously, you are, without question, the biggest, most powerful man in Impact. I'm sure by the end of 2018, probably a little sooner than, winter of 2018, there'll be gold around your waist.
My shoulder, something.
Exactly. That said, let's open up for questions for Tyrus. Star 6, if you'd like to ask a question. A couple things, as always, please identify yourself, your media outlet, and please only one question at a time for Tyrus so we can run through. We've got a lot of media on the call here waiting to talk to him.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out GoWeck.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
Hey, Tyrus. Sean Rossap of Fightful.com here. I was always wondering, like, you got quite a presence on the Fox News programs. Have your political stances ever maybe caused an issue among fellow wrestlers, or do they just kind of understand what you're doing?
You know what? That's a great question. I've always kind of been college-y kind of a guy, and the overwhelming support I get from my fellow wrestlers is unbelievable. Like, I mean, I don't even think, I think we all respect all our differences of opinion or whatever in terms of politics, but the fact that I'm transitioned from wrestling to do something mainstream that's considered taboo for us because the rest of the people should be dumb or we're one dimensional or whatever. So I think regardless of what my political views are opposed to their political views, they're just like, for example, Adonis, some of you guys know him, Chris Masters or whatever. He's probably one of the most supportive guys. Literally, every time I'm on the show, I'll end up getting a message from him, Bobby Lashley, Dolph Ziggler. It doesn't matter what brand they're from. Everyone loves the fact that I'm showing that you don't always have to have the greatest push in the world. Talent always shines through, and the fact that wrestlers are one of the greatest entertainers in the world. No one has to prepare like we do. No one goes through what we do physically, mentally. We don't get retakes. Our fans hold us to the grain, so we don't get enough credit for the entertainers that we are. And again, movies and stuff, we'll do 25 takes on a hello scene. You don't get that in wrestling. So we're always pretty supportive. Even if they disagree, it's all love, if that makes any sense.
Thank you.
Hello, Tyrus. This is Big Ray from OneWrestling.com. Again, sir, thank you for joining us here.
Thank you.
All right. So, this is a pretty straightforward question. I mean, you're huge. You're strong, you're agile, you're very well-spoken, you have a great look. If I was a booker in any organization, you would be my world champion. So very, very simply put, and very simply asked, how would Tyrus book Tyrus?
That is a great question, and I would book, I'm going to go back to my mentor. I had an argument once with the late, great Dusty Rhodes. He was telling me, he was bragging about, I'm world champion, I was world champion I was this and that, and I snapped at him, yeah, because you were the booker. And then he told me that I'm a little too smart for my own good. So, yeah, if I was the booker, I would book myself as world champion, but at the same time, I would be building a babyface somewhere to shock the world at one point.
Thank you, sir.
Evan Tyrus, Harry Jefferson, Sports Keeda. As we know, in addition to your pro wrestling career, you're also a political commentator. In your mind, how important is it for professional wrestlers to have another plan or career lined up either alongside wrestling or for when they hang up their boots?
Oh, I think it's essential. I think it's important. You cannot do this forever. And the guys that stay too long, I think, are disrespectful to the business and to the guys coming up. I don't think it's fair to see a 60-year-old guy in the ring, and it's like, you know, it's a filtered moment for the fans, but it's really a disconnect, and it's time to move on. So I'm not real supportive of some of the classics that hang around too long, but I don't think it's fair, and I think it hurts the brand and the business. Not to mention the fact that you want to be able to grow in life. If you were a great wrestler, and you were, and then you moved on to be whatever it is you choose to be, since you're a coach, real estate agent, professional actor, judge, sheriff, whatever. But you're able to transition to do that and do that as well, too. It just goes to show how successful wrestlers are to be a sports entertainer, and why for kids who are going into the business and spend more time, make more money, and then transition to other things, because you cannot, in this day and age, with concussions and people are just bigger, faster, stronger, and the physicality of the business, you need to have a plan B. Because things aren't always promised, you know? You get fired, and then what are you going to do? You know, some guys, you have to have a backup plan. And not just wrestling, in any extra, what I would consider extracurricular, not guaranteed things. If you're going to play professional sports, you're going to be an actor, an actress, a singer, anything that is up to other people's discretion, whether it's a job or not. You should definitely have a backup plan.
Hi, Tyrus. This is Hannibal from the HannibalTV.com. I recently read Bill DeMott's book, and I remember when I knew you in Deep South Wrestling, you guys were very close. But in his book, he was very derogatory towards... Yeah, so I was wondering what happened between you guys and what you think about those comments he made.
First of all, Coach DeMott and I, we have a good relationship, actually a great relationship. And during the time of when he got let go at Deep South, I wasn't happy with the way things went down. But I was very vocal about that too, and he was upset at me, and I think he was upset at a lot of people, just the way that, you know, he was let go, and the way that, I guess, when, just like in my idea, when I played football and stuff, and when a coach got fired, and a new coach came in, that was a new coach. And he went back to work, because at the end of the day, you're trying to get a job. So he thought we didn't have a job yet. So I embraced the new coach, and he just went to work. Dr. Tom Pritchard was amazing, and he brought a completely different style than Coach Bill did. He was psychology and presence, and Bill was work ethic and move sets and things like that. So there's completely two different things. And some of the guys kind of formed this alliance where like loyal to Bill and this, that, whatever. And I really didn't want much to do with that. I was going to keep doing what I had to do. But yeah, it's actually funny. When he came back to FCW, his book had just maybe been out for a couple weeks, and Zach Ryder came running up to me to show me the book. And Coach had come out of, DeMond had come out of the office and was like, give me that. And he's like, before you see this, I just step outside and let's talk about it. And I was like, am I in the book? I've never been in the book before, so I'm kind of excited about it. He says, yeah. And then he just looked at me. I was a little upset at the time, and I might have said some things out of anger, and I apologize. I'm like, well, let me read it. I mean, before you go, let me read it. And he basically said, that the only thing talented about me is my name or something like that. But he apologized for it, and I said, listen, time comes with time, and you're allowed to do that. So I let it go. It wasn't a big deal. People are going to say things about you. You can't make everybody happy. Everyone always has an opinion. Some people love to use it because they suck. It's just the way people are.
Hi, Travis. Anthony from Team Venom Media here. We heard earlier about how the Springboarders eluded you throughout the years. So, what do you plan on doing to change this? What can Tyrus do that ensures you get wrestling gold around your waist sooner rather than later?
That's a great question. What can I do? Be prepared. Training my ass off and just waiting for the opportunity. But I'm ready.
Good to hear. Thank you.
Hey, Tyrus, we have an email question in from David Dunn of the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Insider. And we can accept his apology for not being on. It's about 3 in the morning where he's at right now. We have a three-part question for you. It's all on one subject. It's about your role in GLOW. What was filming like for the series? Did you know at the time it was going to be received so positively? And how do you think the show benefits both Impact and the wider wrestling business?
Yeah, of course it was a blast. It was a lot of fun to do. I got to play a comic book character, which was fun. I always carry myself as an intellectual type. So that part was fun. I think it was, as far as, it showed that other companies' superstars are stars too. You don't always have to be from the WWE to get a guest spot in the movie. Sometimes the best performers aren't necessarily on the internet. So it's kind of cool that I was able to just get that job based off merit, you know, not what necessarily the company I was working for at the time. Hello?
Tyrus, Harry here from NBC Sports Radio's Pro Wrestling 247. How do you feel some new guys have come into Impact? How do you feel about guys like Congo Kong, who is more your size, and maybe locking horns with him and or perhaps being a tag team with him?
Well, I haven't got to know him much. It seems like he's on that. He's a little confusing for me because he handed on that the guy from the Diet Dr. Pepper commercial. What's his name? Jim something or whatever. Whenever I see him, I just want to Diet Dr. Pepper. I think change is always good. Guys should be coming in. There should be new guys coming in. As long as they're ready to be professional and bring their work ethic every day, I got no problem with it. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and we only want the best guys here, so but I'm kind of over the tag team thing, so I'm not really going to tag up with somebody, small.
Hey, Tyrus, it's Big Ray again from OneWrestling.com. You know, I was talking to one of my co-hosts, Ben Hameen, and also I was talking to Bill Apter because he hadn't watched Impact in a little while. He's always so busy. And, we were talking about your physique and how it's changed over the last couple of years. And I follow you on IG. I follow you on social media. And I've watched this slow progression of your body changing. And you look great, by the way. So I just wanted to know, like, what are you doing? I've become a little bit of a gym rat myself. Eating, what you doing in the gym, more or less, why did you make this change with your physical appearance, I guess you were saying? Thank you.
Well, that's a great question. Number one, I always wanted to improve. And the one thing that, I was looking away from it, I don't think I was looking white. I was going strong. I was looking strongly. I was going to look smart, if that makes any sense. And when I got to Hard Knock South, when I was actually with Rob McIntyre, John Cena's trainer, he looked at me and he said, what are you going to do in my gym? He said, what are you going to do? You're a big guy, you're already strong. And I said, I want to be better. And he's like, well, then, we're going to have to look differently. We have to change things. And ironically, I'm stronger now than I was then. And I've been with Hard Knocks South since 2010, so 8 years. And it took, you know, 10 years or 20 years to get my body that way. So then I knew it was going to be money cheating to get my body to make changes in my diet. And sensible meals. Basically, because I'm bad at, I'm not the best guy at prepping food. I like to cook, but I like to cook bad, if that makes any sense. I'm like a giant fan of spaghetti, raw meat, pancakes, and eggs in the morning. But as far as like chopping up chicken and pork and everything out, it took too much time, and then I was trying to eat it, or I'm traveling. So sensible meals when I drink. And she was like, basically, we'll ship it to your door, it'll be prepped, you can take it when you travel, wherever you're at, you know, and it was so cheap, too. I mean, it was like $125 a week, and I spent more of that sometimes just going to one restaurant by myself. And then over time, eating a smaller portion, I found like, at first, the first 2 weeks, it sucked, because I was literally going through withdrawals, and I wanted to eat, and I was making excuses to eat, and I still have times where I have to fight that. I mean, I'm literally always going to fight the craving bug, but I eat smarter now. I don't necessarily eat for joy. I don't like everything that I eat. I don't enjoy every meal that I have. I always tell myself now, food is fuel, period. Like, it's not a good time. You want to have a good time, go to a club or make a friend or get a hobby, work on a hobby. Go make food your hobby, and that's probably the biggest thing that I go. And just committing myself to the training is a hobby now. Like, I lift, like, some people go to church, and I eat when I'm supposed to eat. And I still have days. I still have times where like, I want to have pizza and things like that, but I have to do it portion control. And if I do let myself go and have a bad day, I can assume that that's not the norm. Being full all the time is not the norm. And a lot of people, like, and I post everything on, I've been completely transparent about it. I post everything on my IG as far as my training and my diet stuff goes. And the biggest concern I get from people is out here, well, that's not enough food for me. It is enough food for you. You just overeat. Like, this whole thing where you have to fill a whole plate of food, and if you clear your plate, you're a good kid. That's terrible, terrible parenting. You kind of know that you shouldn't be eating anything more than your fist. Like, food is fuel, and we've kind of mistaken it for that's the only time family sits together is when they eat. And instead of, like, making family time, you know, because they're on their cell phones and their iPads now, so... just rewiring my brain basically from what is okay as far as eating and what's not. And it's been contagious, and my kids eat that way, and I eat that way. And so I surround myself with people who are positive. That's another thing too. I don't really, some of my small friends, when they go to eat, I go the other way because they eat the way they want to because they're metabolism of a cracker. And I don't have that kind of metabolism. So it's a constant effort. I'm working to improve it all the time. But I got a good diet plan with sensible meals because I didn't like to do it. And I got a good trainer. And I look for what I want to because I'm on the Moji app, which has all my workout for me, so, and it holds me accountable. So as long as I have accountable and I push myself, that's been the whole thing. But it's a journey. I'm not sure where I want to get to yet, but I'm just where I'm going.
Visit our YouTube channel, search Gerwick Report Podcast, and subscribe.
Hey, it's Irish Sean of Fightful.com here. I was instructed to ask you how big of a fan you are of curling and who won the big pool.
Okay, well, first of all, EC3 is a son of a bitch. Let me just say that right now. And I hate him as a person. I know he put you up to this. He didn't win anything, okay? He drew, his name was drawn, he won the lottery. I got stuck with Japan. He got USA, and they upset, and they went to do it every year. And, you know, did he tell you what he had to do before what he lost?
It was very vague.
Oh, very vague? Yeah. I want you to ask him to explain go for the gold or taste the gold. Ask him what that is. That was his answer. Tell him that Tyra said, yes, he won the thing, but at least I didn't have to taste the gold the year before.
I don't think I'm allowed to. WWE won't grant us access to talent, so we're stuck with your side of the story.
Oh, then cool, yeah. We felt bad for him, and we He won the Paralympic event. It's a tradition. We do it every Winter Olympics. We all draw, and everyone, we all battle back and forth with, you know, there was some side betting and some things going on and some just some fun, just some guy fun, which is, you know, illegal nowadays. But it's a good break. But yeah, he won this year. I had Japan, so I got screwed. Year before I had China, I came in second, which is basically even worse because I had to watch them choke at the end. So, but you know, next 4 years we're really lucky. Maybe I'll get Canada or USA or Norway or one of the countries that actually is good at curling.
Do you all do one for the Summer Olympics too?
We haven't. I know we're looking for one. It has to be obscure. Can't be anything fun or cool like track and field. We're leaning towards badminton, but we haven't quite locked that down yet.
Thank you.
Carlos, what was your take on the just completed Winter Olympics?
You know, I was just asked this last week on the Gutfeld show, and my thing is I just feel that, especially the Winter Olympics, has just really lost its steam in terms of like viewership and stuff because we have so much stuff going on in the country. There's like 1,000 TV channels and you know, it's the middle of the NBA and Major League Baseball getting started up, and it's just worldwide, and we don't have that big rivalry anymore. We don't have the USSR anymore, you know, and China, for whatever reason, has just never been like a big rival to us as far as sports and stuff like that goes. So it's kind of, until we get like a big rival on the world scene, and that may happen, you know, the way things are going, we may end up having a superpower that we have issues with, but it's just not quite the same thing. You're not really voting in, just expect USA to win, and when they don't win, you usually make it kind of like, well, we're from nowhere, it's going to be the snow, so we should win. So it's just not the same for the United States as it is for the other countries, I think.
Are you a Winter or Summer Olympics fan?
I was like track and field. I threw shot put, so and hammer and discus in high school and college. So I'll just check that out just because, you know, I love to see the new marks and stuff like that. I'm going, how the hell that guy throwing, you know, 72 on a shot, you know? But, so and plus something it's just warmer. I'm not a snow guy, so not skier, snowboarder, not, you know, I don't want to go tubing. Just, you know, I throw a snowball at you if you're annoying me. But the other stuff I can relate to because I get it.
Tyrus, Anthony again from Team Venom Media. My question is, what does a professional wrestler like yourself, who dabbles in acting and the political thing that you're into, but what do you do in your downtime? What does Tyrus do to relax when you're away from work?
That's a great question. And you have to have outlets, first of all. You have to, or you're driving yourself nuts. One thing I do is I stay off my phone. I try to like enjoy things. Like, of course, I lift pretty much 4 days a week, and I got my Xbox for my video game, and I play like a lot of seasons, like my NBA 2K and my hockey, and I'm stuck in. I'm almost finished up with Gears of War, but once I start a game, I won't start another game until I finish it. And I like playing with my kids. That's always fun, and being part of their growing sports and their activities, all the weird stuff. And I have fish tanks. I'm an avid fish tank guy. So I'm into that kind of stuff. And I want to get a dog. I just travel so much that I think I like a dog better than people. So that'd be my best friend. But I try to do different things. Try to go to concerts and stuff like that. But that stuff's kind of hard to get restaurants want. But I try to lay low and just do like fun things and just try to be outside more, go for walks, stuff like that. Just stay busy and just lots of little things. Models, building a Godzilla right now. And, some Dragon Ball Z action figure kits because my son likes that stuff. So, just have fun as much as I can.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Hey, Tyrus. Sean Rossap of Fightful.com again. When you came back to Impact Wrestling, who reached out, or was it you that reached out to them? Because I know that there was a departure last year. How did that go about?
Basically, the departure, everyone kind of knows the story. I wasn't comfortable with the management. I'll just leave it at that. So I asked to move on. And then once the announcement was made that the management was gone, I think we sent emails literally within like 15 minutes of each other asking, I said, I'd be willing to come back. So I didn't want to break my contract. I never really quit anything, but I just felt it was impossible to work with the management dealing on the personal issues that I had been in the past. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm not going to be like, oh, I'll just stick it out. You know, if it's a bad situation, I'm going to speak up. And I had a great respect for Ed, and I liked his vision and where they were trying to go. And just once that other element was out of there, there was no reason why I wouldn't want to come back. You know, the one great thing about Impact is they allow me to do, they're so supportive of the other things I do. And scheduling wise, it's a lot easier for me. So that's why it was an easy call to come back.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. You could finish that up.
Oh, no, I'm good.
All right, cool. BigWayForOneWrestling.com. You're an extremely intriguing person. I've interviewed you a couple of years ago when you first left the WWE, and everybody knows that you've been the bodyguard for, you know, Snoop Dogg, so on and so forth. First, really quickly, are you a fan of hip-hop music, really quickly?
I'm a fan of old hip-hop music.
Okay, hold on. Before you continue, I wanted to know your sincere thoughts. Because wrestling questions can be boring sometimes. What are your sincere thoughts about hip-hop music today? Because me and my buddy Ben were going back and forth about this. He knew I was coming on with you. So I thought it'd be fun to ask you about what your, and I know you're going to give me an honest opinion on what hip-hop music today is like. I think it personally is absolutely terrible. You and I both came from the same age, the golden age, the 80s, the 90s, so on and so forth. So please elaborate, sir.
Well, hip-hop first of all is dead. Okay. When the number one song is a guy whining about a girl who left him, I don't care about you. That's where we're at here. That's how we got our problems now. When Ice Cube and guys from that era, Pop, they're thinking of stories. Their lines were genius. Nobody could copy them because they told a story when the craft was the rhyme. But the artistic was the story. We forgot the story. All we talk about now is whips, chicks, and anybody can get a woman. It's not difficult. You know, even if this ill guy means 25 hours, we'll get you a hug. You know what I'm saying? So they have just completely forgotten. It's become industry, and they don't even rhyme anymore. They whine. They sing when they talk, so it's technically not really rhyming. I don't care about you. I mean, that's not still. And everyone sounds the same. It doesn't. You don't even have to match the music. I mean, the video don't match. I mean, it's just it's terrible. But it's because, and when you do have a good artist that does come out, he stands out. But he's usually overdrawn because it's basically studio rappers. They put the act here. Everyone talks trash about like NSYNC and like the boy bands. They do the same thing with actors. The studio has a bunch of beats and writers, and they pick someone. Somebody wins the audition to be the gangster, and he drives around in his lease car, lives in his lease apartment, and they found this ridiculous 5-year album deal that he'll never possibly live up to, so they can take everything back at the end. I mean, it's the same. It's tragic. I've actually transitioned. I've been digging into old rock and roll. Like I'm newly discovered bands like Led Zeppelin. Like that's what I'm working on right now. Like through that and the old ABD stuff. I had to find new sounds because when I lift weights, I listen to the same stuff. I listen to Cube. I listen to Pac. I listen to Biggie. I listen to anybody from that era. Is Mac 10, Exhibit guys that I lyric. I'm a good lyrical guy. Good beat, but strong message. that fits sort of mine. Probably the latest guy, that probably most like, I like Jadakiss. I like Jadakiss, he's another guy who's a pretty, he's got decent lyrics with his stuff, but other than that, man, it's dead. It's not coming back, but someone's rock and roll. You know, like, if you're not on a reality TV show, apparently you can't be an artist. So, I mean, rock and roll's dead, too. I mean, it's all just computer dance music now and whatever's clever on the social media charts what the songs are about. So it's sad. Music is kind of dead. But luckily, I got iTunes. I don't listen to the radio at all. It's just big.
Tyrus, you talk to Sanjay Dutt much about music?
No.
We only have time for a couple more questions for you, Tyrus, and we'll wrap it up here.
Tyrus, this is Harry from NBC Sports Radio, Pro Wrestling 247 again. You mentioned earlier about Godzilla, and I am a huge Godzilla fan. I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on that particular genre of movie, kaiju films, because we're getting to Great Dad Pacific Rim 2 coming out. What do you think of movies, the giant monster genre of films?
Here's my thing. I love the Japanese format, and I'm doing another movie with him. He directed Godzilla Final Wars, and I was so thankful he still incorporated the old genres. I grew up, I have every possible Godzilla figure out there. I get all the ones from Bandai, the ones from Japan. It's pretty overpriced, but they're phenomenal. I have on my, if you grab my iPad right now, there'll be at least six Godzilla movies on it. Like, I just enjoy them. I loved them as a kid, and I never got over it. And every time there's a new one out, I'm checking out. Shin Godzilla was different. I like the way they did it, and I know they have a, because I have new action figures kind of come out before the new Japanese movie. They have a Super Ultra Mechagodzilla, so I know there's a new Mechagodzilla and a new Godzilla coming out from their side. And then, of course, over in the States, we got the series going where, you know, there are Godzilla and they had King Kong, and it looks like it's going to have Rogan and King Ghidorah. So, I mean, I love that it's still around because my kids are kind of like, but it's kind of like a puppet. No, it's not. You know, and Pacific Rim was a pleasant surprise. I was like, wow, this isn't bad. So I'm looking forward to the second one, and ironically, when I wrestled Magnus in Japan, they were actually chanting kaiju, so I was pretty proud of that. And that's actually what they brought me for gifts. They asked me, what would you like us to bring you for gifts, your sponsor? And I was like, whatever Godzilla stuff you got, I'll take it. Obsessed with Godzilla. I've got to look at
that too. Hi, Tyrus. Anthony from Team Venom Media again. One last question, mate. We know that Austin Aries has recently joined Impact Wrestling and is world champion. How was he received in the dressing room by all the other wrestlers?
Pretty much everybody else. Happy man. Welcome back. We don't have a negative. And then they all have to work together. We all have to get along, and everyone wants everyone to be successful. I mean, he's just coming out. He had a book coming out, and he's on winning the multiple champions, like a 6-time world champion right now. So I'm definitely happy to see him. And he's like, get my hands on him. And I don't think he's ever faced a guy like me. He definitely can't get me up for his finish. So he's definitely different. But he's, you know, he's one of the greatest in the world right now. And it's looking good. Love him. Going down. From a business side of it, and from the competitor side of it, why would you want to be going after the guy who's pretty much on fire right now? So I'm just glad to see him back. I'm glad to see more guys. The more guys we have come back, the more guys that we have stayed, the more guys that we have come on the scene, is better for everybody. I've never been afraid of the best man win. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me the mic, let's do this. So and I think there's probably a lot of stereotypes about guys, and maybe he's got a bad rep, or like he's bad in the locker room, but every interaction I've ever had with him has been positive, and he's a good guy, and maybe he's misunderstood just because he's professional and knows what he wants, and he's not one of those guys who's not going to say what's on his mind. I think outspoken is good if you're intelligent, and he's an intelligent guy. So, and as an outspoken guy myself, I definitely am going to criticize somebody for speaking up. So if I bet, if I don't like something, I definitely will say what's on my mind.
Well, with that, Tyrus, we will wrap up today's media teleconference. I appreciate it. And got a final thought, wishes as we sign off for today?
Oh, man, I just appreciate everyone for tuning in and make sure you guys catch us. Impact Wrestling when we get in. You know, you can always hit me up on Twitter, which is at Planet Tyrus. And my IG is Tyrus Smash. Both are verified. So if you have those personages out there, and if you have any more questions or anything, then for the next 20 minutes or whatever, hit me up and I'll try to answer for you on Twitter and Instagram. Enough said.
Tyrus, thank you so much. Media, thank you guys. We will be back next week with another superstar from the world of Impact Wrestling.